gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Monday. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Look at what dorks we are. Why are we both wearing our boogity cheese t-shirts on the same day? Like big dorks again.
Yeah, we didn't plan that.
In our Aisha Tyler tribute. Yeah. We love you, Detroit. Where's my rock star cheers? Woohoo! What a night at the Detroit Opera House. With a Sexy Liberal Show with Aisha Tyler and John Fugel saying, okay, so we can say it now.
Yep.
Guess who was there? Oh, my God!
Oh, my God!
Oh, my God! God. Aretha Franklin was there!
Oh, my God! All right.
What you...
Yeah, sing it, Aretha!
Yeah!
What you... Do you know I got...
You know how hard it was keeping that secret?
Yeah, I know.
Oh! We, you know what, and we didn't get to meet her. She was actually very kind. They said that, you know, they expressed concern because they don't want to take away from...
Right.
Because then everyone would be going, oh, my God, Aretha Franklin, not watching the show. So
yeah.
We didn't get to meet her, but we heard there were several Aretha sightings.
Yep.
And apparently she was laughing very hard.
Yep.
We just talked about that the whole time backstage. Oh, my God, Aretha's out there. She's laughing really hard. Oh, my God, Aretha, did you see Aretha?
Could you look up and see Aretha?
I didn't see her.
Okay.
You think she would have at least worn her bedazzled hat that she wore at the inauguration so I could more easily spot her, but I did not.
I believe that hat is in the Smithsonian.
Oh, maybe that's why she didn't wear it.
That's why she didn't wear it.
Anyway. Oh, what a night. Yeah, it was... thank you, Detroit Opera House. And let's give a special shout-out, special thank you to the Detroit Opera House security team.
What? What? Huh? Why? Okay, I'm sure they were great, but was there an incident?
It was an incident.
Oh, dear.
It was an incident.
What?
Well... Let me start by saying something many people know, and that is John Fugel Singh is the prettiest man that God has ever made.
That is true.
You know, he and Hal and Aisha, they have their share of...
People.
Rabid fans.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say. And so there was a particularly rabid one trying to get to see John. And so apparently she had to be, asked to... Perhaps go somewhere else, you know, in a nice way.
Oh, dear.
And the staff was very nice, to which she apparently, in not a very sexy liberal way, several N-words were shouted.
Oh!
And,
At the African-American gentleman?
Yeah,
you
would think, we're like, do you mean to go to the Kenny Chesney concert next door? Because you can't be a sexy liberal.
Oh, is Kenny Chesney next door?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Lot of cowboy hats. Yeah, there's a Detroit Tigers game right next door. It was a big night.
Busy time in downtown Chicago. Downtown Detroit.
Well, probably in Chicago, too,
sure.
But I wouldn't know because I wasn't
there.
I was in Detroit.
I wasn't there either.
You're not the one with one brain cell left from being on the road. You don't shout the wrong city, for God's sakes. You've been sitting here.
Well, yeah.
All right, let's see here. Sexy liberal male. Detroit loves Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller loves Detroit, let me just tell you what. Mark, great step, great show Saturday night, worth every penny and the wait. I was the big Italian guy wearing the fedora. That guy.
Okay.
I'll seat four rows in the stage. Yeah, that guy. I made some new friends, which is what always happens at Sexy Liberal.
Sexy Liberal Strange.
I met Buddy from Columbus. Buddy from Columbus came in.
Oh,
Tommy
cool.
from Columbus was there. The whole gang was there. I met him at the meet and grub afterwards. I ran into him across the street at the Detroit Brew Company. Drinking. Many sexy liberal fans have that in common.
I'm sure the Detroit Brew Company really appreciated the business y'all sent their way.
Yellow. We had a couple beers and hung out. Please let me give a shout out to Dennis and Philip. Hey, they sat next to me during the show. See, people make new friends.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes get some sexy liberal strange on the side. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sure someone's got.
Yeah. Liberals are such nice people. I came away refreshed and energized. Thanks for all you do. That's right. It means you're empathetic and open-minded, and it's just a big joyful noise in Detroit. Aretha there laughing.
I wonder if she laughed at your fart jokes.
I'm not sure if I told fart jokes.
Okay.
A lot of slutty stuff, though.
Okay.
All right.
I would love it if Aretha laughed at a fart joke. That would just make my year.
We had, you know, listen, we could make up some stories. Aisha and I, you know, we'd get on stage, we'd sing Sisters or Doing It For Themselves, we'd go out drinking, slam a few back with Aretha at the Detroit. You know what, we'll just, by the second or third hour, that'll be the story. We'll just make up some stories about what happened with, see? Yeah, we had, Aisha and I rehearsed. We were ready. We were ready to go.
So you got to be Annie Lennox and Aisha got to be Aretha? Okay.
All right, I have to get... Oh, wait a minute. Hang on a second. We have a number of announcements this morning I got to get to before we... let's see. Oh, because speaking of which, we are coming back to... we're coming to Lansing. We're doing a big... what do you call it? A Democratic fundraiser there. Mm-hmm. So, hang on a second. I'm not in the right... Hang on, I'm not in the right email here.
Are you okay?
No, I'm drunk. Oh. Okay, hang on a second. We are coming back to do a fundraiser in Lansing, Michigan.
It's a very special edition.
September 17th.
Yep, very special edition of the Sexy Liberal Show.
Yeah, you can go to sexyliberal.com, Sexy Liberal on Facebook. And here it is. Okay. We are coming to benefit the Clinton County Democratic community. You can go to whartoncenter.com for tickets to that one. All right. And then, wow! Can I say wow? To Fort Lauderdale, California?
Florida, not California.
What? I'm sorry. You know, I really probably ought to stop drinking at some point.
Yeah,
Sunday
that
night.
Would help.
Yeah.
That would help.
It just, you know, once you start with Aisha, it becomes very competitive.
Well,
and it's, you know,
I thought Detroit was Chicago, so, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, I don't know what your excuse is. Anyway, but so we just went on sale Fort Lauderdale Friday morning, and I believe we're already like 3/4 sold out. It is actually the fastest sale we've had.
Wow.
Yeah.
For a market where we don't even
do not have a radio station.
Affiliate.
No, we don't have a radio station, and the show is, God love you, South Florida. So hurry and get your tickets. Go to sexyliberal.com to get tickets for that. And a couple of announcements on Friday. You know the other one. And I know there's a reason we picked this. Portland, Oregon. We picked it. We were coming in January. Guess what?
What?
Portland just been named the sluttiest city in America, ladies and gentlemen. Congratulations.
She's a slut. Look at her, slut.
God, love ya. This is big news. Okay, Cupid, the website, went through their database to see which city's official mascot is the spread eagle. They came up with Portland. You're the spreadiest, Portland.
Wow. Go
and
Portland.
Knew there was a reason we had to get that on the Sexy Liberal schedule. Cupid determined that Portland had more slutty sluts per capita than any other city in the country by checking to see how many people have casual encounters marked as they're looking for on their profiles. So the finding, you know what? And is it a coincidence, Chris, that these are the biggest selling Sexy Liberal cities?
I did notice that when I sent you this story.
Portland, Oregon, number one. Seattle, number two, where we have two
shows.
Yes, coming up. September 30th and October 1st. Pittsburgh, we're going to have to put that on the schedule. That's not on yet.
We've had some requests for Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Miami, Florida, South Florida. There you go.
There you go.
Coincidence? Don't think so. Number 5, San Francisco.
Of course.
We're going to have two sold-out shows there at the end of October. Let's see. And then to round out the top 10, Dallas, San Bernardino, Denver, City by the Bay.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get there. San Diego, California, and Houston, Texas. Wow. L.A. is not even...
San Diego?
I do my best.
San Diego?
I'll sweat it up. I don't... What?
I think of San Diego as just a little bit sleepy. I don't think of them as slutty.
I don't.
Okay, then.
God, congratulations, Portland, really.
Rose City, get ready, because this year's most popular comedy tour is coming to the Beaver State.
Nice beaver.
Yes.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is blazing a trail to Portland, Oregon.
Will Portland, Oregon in...
Stephanie Miller.
That ain't love, then tell me what is the... Oregon.
From Beaver Bay, Cherry.
Beaver, Cherry.
On January 7th, 2012, at the Newmark Theater, Stephanie Miller and her sexy liberal players will mercilessly mock Republicans to the max. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling the Portland Center for Performing Arts box office at 503-432-2917.
Better than anything we have back in Portland, Oregon.
It's the perfect complement to an ice-cold Bridgeport brew.
Thank you, Shano. Thank you, Danielle. All right, Judy in Detroit. She was there Saturday night. Hi, Judy.
I'm still hungover. I didn't really drink that much.
It's, I know.
I lost a few brain cells. I was just, you know, trying to figure out. John Finkelstein is so pretty.
Isn't
and
he?
I spent half the show trying to figure out who he looked like instead of listening to the jokes. But
yeah.
I came to the conclusion he is the lost Kennedy in Converse.
That's true. He does wear Converse for every show. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, we had so much fun. And he was so sweet and giggly and cute. And I took my sister to the show and was eyeing her nervously because I didn't know if she was going to get it or not, but she loved it too.
Oh, good. Is she conservative?
wool.
Oh, okay.
No, but she lives way in the heck up in farm country up north of Detroit, and she doesn't get your show as much as she should. So yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's listen. People bring all sorts of mixed couples and have a great time. So that did you see Aretha? That's the most important question.
I didn't. Shout out to Roland because I got third row center.
Awesome.
So I was like up in your business. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
That's where I like you.
I did not see Aretha.
That's where I like you. Get up in there.
Eyes out.
All right.
I think it is John Conyers because you kept mentioning him. Is it Debbie Stabenow?
Yes.
But we had a great time.
Yeah. Oh, honey,
thank you.
Thank you. We had a great time. Thank you so much. What a city. Detroit, Motor City.
Yep.
They do. They have great. I'm just saying, you know, some of our very personal favorite politicians. Senator Debbie Stabenow, could not be there? I think it was probably best she not be associated with it.
Probably.
But some people very close to her were there and said she was sorry she missed it. And I was like, I don't want this staying on her reputation.
Not on John Conyers' reputation either.
No, but she fought the good fight on behalf of, you know, the auto rescue and the people of, which proved when we make it in the USA and we make it with union labor, we win.
Look for the union labor.
Yes. Oh, sorry. Yeah, and John Conyers, I was saying that, which, because, you know, it's true, back during the, you know, because you know, I love him and I love everything he stands for.
Yeah.
When it was back during the Bush years and he was the only one that kept bringing up Bush impeachment.
Yeah.
You know, that was like, you know, like having phone sex. He would have him on, just, you know, it was like, it was phone sex for me. It was really kind of like, could you just keep talking a little while longer?
Yeah.
Well, Stephanie, they're really war crimes. Uh-huh. It was.
That's
it was,
why he was the patron saint of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Exactly. Exactly my point. All right. 17 minutes after the hour, one of the things I brought up on stage Saturday night, I've got to read some of this piece that was in the LA Times this weekend about the kinds of books that Michelle Bachmann recommends. It's festive reading. You'll be thrilled to know some of the ideas that she promotes.
Yeah.
17, yeah, because of all the other bat stuff she says. Yeah. Wait to hear some of this. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, baby. Thank you, Aretha. Is this going to be an all Aretha show? I hope so.
I think this might be the only Aretha song I have.
Well, make some more. 24
okay.
minutes. Aretha Franklin at the Detroit Secular Liberal Show Saturday. I've been bursting for weeks because we weren't allowed to say 1-800-STEP-1. You know me keeping a secret, not so much.
No,
Pete says no.
Not so much. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Marlene in Ohio, she drove herself an hour to Motor City. Hi, Marlene.
Hi, Stephanie. Oh, God, it's such a pleasure.
Oh, thank you, honey.
Hey, listen, your body is smoking hot.
Oh,
are you still doing P90X? Seriously?
Yes, it is. It brought to you by P90X.
Okay,
thank you.
You have just inspired me to get my butt off the couch. I was like, oh, my God. And Alicia, gorgeous.
Aisha, and, yes.
Aisha, yeah. Remember that gentleman said that, Alicia? I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah,
and
boy.
I did the same thing. But, you know, we went to the after party, and my husband said, oh, she's not going to show up. They're not going to. And we left and sat in a parking lot, and you went there. I'm so angry.
Oh, you gave up on me. How dare you?
Oh, gosh. It would have been awesome. And
all right, fear of commitment, woman. Okay, whatever.
Well, you guys going to come to Lansing?
Yeah, we're coming to Lansing. The 17th.
I'm there.
All right, there we go. It's another Steph head. All right. I'm telling you, lots of people have been to several shows so far. We got to get some Steph head T-shirts now.
Right. And you can find out about the Lansing show at sexyliberal.com.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's a special edition of the show.
Yeah, it's a Democratic fundraiser for the Clinton County Democrats. We're very, very excited. All right. You know what is comedy manna from heaven is about Michelle Bachmann. It writes itself. By the way, she was asked about her many verbal gaffes, is what they're calling them.
Is that what they are?
Mm-hmm. She said, when you speak six times a day, slip-ups can occur. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. And also the fact that, there's that, too.
What about when you're president? How many slip-ups will occur then?
Yeah. Okay. It's because I can't shut my pie hole.
Yeah.
Half of it's bound to be garbage. All right.
Worked tirelessly until slavery was no more.
Here she comes now saying more baloney.
Carbon dioxide, it is a harmless gas.
But she says it's just more baloney.
If you're involved in the gay and lesbian lifestyle, it's bondage.
The Lord said, be submissive.
Happy birthday to Elvis Presley today.
Because you have a lot of chutzpah.
She makes me proud.
John Wayne was found more than you
are. You are Jehovah God.
We are the Saudi Arabia of oil.
We're running out of rich people.
What does God say when he looks at you? Or when he looks at me? He wants to say, she's hot.
I may not always get my words right. Chutzpah. 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 Chutzpah.
Some say happy birthday to Elvis Presley today.
We'll keep working and we'll get her done.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike and Raleigh.
Mike has been pumping out these
Mike
things.
Yeah, Mike is rocking it. What's going on? By the way, I said that in Detroit. I said, thank you for being here on the day that Elvis was killed on the toilet by John Wayne Gacy. Let's give a big shout out to Elvis, everybody. What a dopey dope. All right, but we got to post this. James Rainey in the LA Times this weekend with some not so fun facts.
Okay.
But I thought it was a great piece. The headline is What Gaffes Can Really Tell Us. Because the stuff she's talking about that even was just in that montage, those aren't gaffes.
No.
Those aren't like, oh, I misspoke. She consistently either outright lies or says things that are just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I said on CNN last week, and it's not the picture on Newsweek that makes her look crazy. It's the thing she says because she's crazy.
And saying that...
picture just confirms
it. Saying that LGBT people are in bondage, that's not a gaffe.
Yes,
that is her opinion.
No, I mean, if you read this piece, this is what the mainstream media is missing, and I'm glad James Rainey caught some of it because it's... She's racist and homophobic and a liar.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call it, you know, the way it is.
Yep.
But I read some of this literally on stage Saturday night in Detroit. You have to look at on her, like, her stuff must read. Listen to this. She once gave a must read rating to a historical biography that said slaves and masters in the Old South lived in a state of mutual esteem and unity and companionship.
That's false.
Yeah. And again, this is not just one thing. It's like you can read the whole piece and there's a consistent through line to the people that she associates with, has written with, mm-hmm. recommends. Many people heard the news item about Bachman describing some of the founding fathers as working tirelessly to end slavery. That wasn't a gaffe, Chris. It wasn't a gaffe.
Right.
Even grade schoolers recall that George Washington and Thomas Jefferson were slave owners. Teehee, except that Bachman had not misspoken, and this was no joke. He talked about Ryan Liz's piece describes how Bachman not only believed what she said, but worked on a book with one of her law school professors at Oral Roberts University on the subject Christianity and the Constitution, which contends that the founders couldn't free the slaves because in their benevolence, they didn't want to release African natives into an economy where they could not find work.
That was
See, now
so...
that you look at it that way, freedom would have been, quote, inhumane and irresponsible. Aisha and I improv a little skit, you know, because, you know, Aisha said, yeah, like pets. And I said, yes, we could be in the Sarah McLachlan commercial together. And then I sang, I will remember you while I petted Aisha's face on stage. Because I was like, see how benevolent.
That's fine.
Seriously, I got to read the rest of this piece a little bit when we get back. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hey, it's 4:30. Isn't there an early bird special you should be running off to?
No! The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Oh, so dead on. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Jerry in Detroit was at the big show Saturday night. Hi, JR.
Hey, I've left that show feeling sexier than ever, Stephanie.
I can hear it. It's oozing from you.
Oh, definitely from every pore in my body. I want to elaborate a little bit, but before I start, have you ever thought of taping one of the sexy liberal shows and releasing it on DVD?
Yeah, I think we have. I'm not sure, Chris, have we taped one yet? I think that it's, you know...
That I don't know.
Yeah.
I know you taped the very first one.
I think we're
going
to. We also, I think it's just the tickets are selling so well, we don't want to, you know, dampen demand, obviously, by putting out a version yet, but I'm sure we will.
Okay. I want to elaborate a little
bit. I want to make it easier for Fox News to have clips to use to make liberals look sleazy and inappropriate.
Oh boy! Next thing you know, they'll probably show on O'Reilly. You flashing the audience.
Sure. Yeah, I did. Oh, that was a first in Detroit. I did show them my without them even asking. That was a first. That's how much I love Detroit.
Were you wearing a bra?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so mm-hmm. It was just your bra.
Yeah. Oh, I said I got your car show right here. Take a look at these headlights. That's what I said. I got my high beams on for you.
I want to elaborate a little bit more on the whole gun thing.
Yeah.
Because I listen to a lot of the right wing radio talk show hosts.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Who try to downplay the whole gun thing, claiming they weren't bringing guns within yards of the president.
Yeah.
When clearly they were.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, yeah, sure, that happens all the time. Yeah. You're right. There is something different that's been happening, and we talked about it right on stage Saturday night. That it just, you can't tell me there is not a racial element to it. It is just, there is a treatment of this president that I just haven't seen before. I haven't seen a congressman yell, "You lie," at the president of the United States. I haven't, you know, heard of any other president that's had to produce his birth certificate, you know?
Nor have I seen black liberals spitting at white Republican members of Congress.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Thank you, Jerry. By the way, Detroit also held the record for the longest sexy liberal show.
Oh, really?
John Fugelsang had to lean over and go, "We've got to go." It was like 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Holy
and we were still
crap.
Rocking and rolling. There was a million people that had questions, and we felt bad. We couldn't, yeah. But at some point in the evening, you have to get the hell out, or they start charging you $1 million an hour.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, we were chatty.
Apparently.
Chatty. John's like, shh. I was like, oh, all right, well, good night, Detroit.
Yeah.
Love you. Good night. Let's go drinking.
And then he went to go drink.
Yes,
exactly.
We did.
Okay.
Indeed, we did. Zach in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Zach.
How you doing, Steph?
Good. Go ahead.
I just wanted to talk quickly about Michelle Bachmann, as you talked about her earlier.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, go ahead.
She, she does, I mean, it's so obvious that she has a problem with gays and lesbians, excuse the term. But
despite being married to one, yes.
Exactly. I mean, it's just, in my opinion, it's incriminating because you really can't, I mean, why are they making fun, or why is she downplaying them just because they're different from her? And, you know, I mean, she won the Iowa thing. She won the
right.
quick little thing against Ron Paul and the other guy who didn't really fare so well.
Right.
But I just don't understand how.
As evidenced by the fact that you just called him that other guy. It was, yes. Do you mean Plenty who dropped out?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
right. Yes.
Like,
that guy.
Yeah, like I said,
sure.
He didn't fare too well.
No.
But I just don't understand where it comes into play, how they're so different just because they are just a little different. I mean, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, this is what I'm saying. Let me get back to this piece, the fun facts from James Ramey, and we did post it already.
Yeah, on your Facebook page.
You know, she's more dangerous than gaffes.
Yeah.
She's not just dumb like Sarah Palin. You know, this is if you look like he's saying consistently, she didn't misspeak when she said the founding fathers ended slavery. These are the books she promotes. This book that is on her must-read list that said the slaves and the masters in the South lived in a state of mutual esteem and unity and companionship. Then she worked on a book. She wrote a book with this other, you know, guy from Oral Roberts University, as I was saying before the break. In which, yes, Christianity and the Constitution is the name of it. And it says, the Founding Fathers couldn't have freed the slaves because in their benevolence they did not want to release African natives into an economy where they could not find work. I guess based on the economy now, and that we should re-enslave blacks just to be benevolent, because that would...
Because we're nice
yes,
that way.
Yes, freedom would have been inhumane and irresponsible, according to this book. Okay, by the way, the audience very much enjoyed the piece. Aisha Tyler and I improvised a little skit where she was a pet in a Sarah McLachlan ad, and I was the benevolent. I'm going, am I reading this in 2011? And apparently I am. Lizza, this is the piece on Bachmann that James Rainey refers to. Also describes stumbling over an old list on Bachmann's State Senate website of favorite books, including a Robert E. Lee biography. So this is now the third. This is not one book or one reference or one gaffe. Including a Robert E. Lee biography by J. Stephen Wilkins that offers a revisionist view of slavery as well. It was, quote, not an adversarial relationship founded upon racial animosity.
No. Confused says no.
No. So fine, I get to own you and you get to be owned. Where's the animosity?
And you work for me for free.
Yes! Who doesn't this work for? Wilkins writes, blacks were lucky, the book asserts, to be escaping barbaric Africa for Christian America. See, that's kind of the Pat Buchanan.
Yeah.
And, by the way, no charge for the boat ride. That's, you're welcome. And the free ankle bracelets. Fine.
Hmm.
Okay. So, that's what I'm saying. Like, the Pat Buchanans of the world, that wasn't a gaffe when he called the president your boy.
Right.
This is how they talk. This is, you know, And the best part is that he didn't know what he said. What did I say? I mean it in, like, a sports thing way. What? Why is that racist? Okay. She also abruptly cut off an interview when the reporter pressed her about Francis Schaeffer, a theologian she has described as crucial in forming her worldview. These are all fair game questions, don't you think?
Absolutely.
For someone wanting to be a leader of the free world. Schaeffer taught followers to be suspicious of any intellectual system not strictly adhering to the Bible and Christ's word. In the 1980s, a few years before he died, he called for a violent overthrow of the government if it did not reverse the abortion rights decision of Roe v. Wade.
Well, that doesn't sound very American.
This is like Rick Perry saying Texas it may secede if we
right.
don't. Yeah. I mean, this is how, you know, I started thinking over the weekend, Chris. I'm going, how far away from this are we from Tim McVeigh at this point?
Not far at all. Not far.
She won't even answer a question about saying this guy was crucial to. I mean, look at how much they banged on Reverend Wright and this. And that.
Mm-hmm.
This guy advocated the violent overthrow if Roe v. Wade was not overturned. Okay. All right. The Truth Squad website, PolitFact.com, has found her guilty of more misstatements than any other candidate.
Huh.
So she's number one at something. I didn't even, some of them I missed last week. She accused Obama of selling the nation's entire strategic petroleum reserve. And it's just, I don't get why mainstream media, they can't just go, well, that's just a big fat lie.
That's false, yeah.
Congresswoman. I mean, she just, okay.
Yeah,
a queasy close to the week, the candidate mused about the, quote, possible rise of the Soviet Union.
The Soviet Union has been gone for 20
years. How do you, you can't, you have to have a media that goes, well, you know what, that's just nutty. And not true. And but furthermore,
well, that's what we're here for.
The rise of the Soviet Union.
Scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
You know, Mr. Gorbachev, rebuild that wall so I can say tear it down again so that I can be Reagan now. What? Wow. Oh, also on her to-do list,
yeah.
She's going to get gas is going to go boom right down to under $2 as soon as
Poof.
She's president.
Yeah, gasoline was $1.79 a gallon. Look at what it is today. Under President Bachmann, you will see gasoline come down below $2 a gallon again.
Okay.
That will happen.
All right, then.
How, Michelle?
Well, she's
how?
Not going to just do the hand-holding that George Bush did with the Saudi princess. She's doing the corn dog, ladies and gentlemen. She's probably tweeting that picture to a bunch of Saudi princes right now.
Yeah.
Check this out. What do you say? $1.50 a gallon?
Sure they'd like that from a hot chick such as herself.
All right. Jim in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello, baby.
I was there at the show on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And I wasn't wearing a cowboy hat because I didn't go to the Kenny Chesney concert.
Yeah, it was a little weird cross-section, wasn't it?
Oh,
people
it was,
in cowboy hats going to Kenny Chesney and the sexy liberals coming.
It was a lot of fun trying to find parking.
Yeah,
oh,
well, I know.
Sure. Yikes.
I know.
Anyways, I used your show as a vetting process for my future son-in-law.
Oh.
I figured if he couldn't handle that show, he wouldn't be able to handle, Sunday afternoon dinners.
Right.
But he passed, but there is a little problem.
Uh-oh.
I think my wife is in love with Aisha.
Uh-oh. Well, that's
that's
a problem for two reasons. She's straight and married, and so are you.
Yeah. Well, she started speaking French, and boy.
Oh.
I had to speak a little French to my wife, smooth over the wrinkles.
Ah, mon dieu. All right.
Good. Mon dieu.
Mon dieu. All right.
Au revoir.
All right, exactly. We are really mangling the bejesus out of that language. Thank you, Jim.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for coming. All right. Brian in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Brian.
Well, good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Yeah, you're going to have a show in Lansing. I'm going to have to try to get tickets for that.
Yeah, September 17th.
Yeah. Something I wanted to ask you about is caveman Rick Perry of the Republican Neanderthal Party.
Yes.
Believing that global warming doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I mean, how much science does there need to be? I mean, give me a break.
Oh, I know. It's just when you thought the Republican, dumb clown car couldn't get any fuller, here comes Rick Perry, right?
Yeah, and then he wants to change, what, 8 amendments in the Constitution? It sounds more like he's part of the ununited States of America.
Yeah, thank you. He's George Bush without the intellect or the humility, essentially. Just what the hell, where the hell did this character come from? Jim, talking to the, what did we talk about last week? Talking to the 5-year-old? How old's the Earth? Oh, pretty old. Pretty old. Don't think we really know how old it is.
Yeah.
Yes, we do, you dumb scientists do. It's 4.5 billion years old, you moron.
Yep.
I don't blame global warming. President doesn't love America. If that Jew Fed Chief comes down here in Texas, we're going to treat him pretty ugly. Make him squeal like pig. Everybody stand back while this haystack. This guy is just...
Oh, my God.
Seriously, he's worse than... I never thought I would say worse than George Bush.
And he wants 5-year-olds to decide which is true.
Oh,
creationism,
by the way, I found another
evolution.
Piece in the LA Times. Lie! Lie! Load the liar cannon.
Oh.
The other thing, there is so much bull coming out of the Republican candidates, it's hard to even keep track. Remember when he said that, oh, we teach both?
Yep.
In Texas?
La 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 la.
No! They don't. The Texas, no. The Texas Education Board rejected teaching creationism in biology classes, so they don't. And I'll find the piece. It was another piece besides James Ramey's that it just was talking about how there's got to be some sort of coverage where people are able to go, well, Michelle Bachmann or Rick Perry said this, but that is not true. Now, let's have a debate on whether we should or not, but that was an outright lie. They don't teach both. He makes it sound like, yeah, we leave it up to the 5-year-olds to figure out which is true.
Well, that's exactly what he said.
Evolution's a nice theory. We teach that in Greece. No, they don't. In Texas, it's like, he also, when people go back to the secessionist thing, it's bad enough he said that. He was also basing it on a complete lie. I'll go back and find the quote, but he was like, yeah, you know, it's the way it was set up. We were originally a republic, and, you know, we get to decide whether we go or not.
There was a Supreme
and that's what we're getting ready to do. He absolutely said that, and it does not say that.
There was a Supreme Court case, I think, in 1875 or somewhere around there, that specifically said Texas cannot secede from the Union.
No. It's just an out-and-out lie. Like, oh, we're Texas, we got some special exemption where we can just skedaddle whenever we feel like it.
That's false.
No, you can't. Oh, I mean, just... Moron. Mm-hmm. Okay. 40. All right. I have that in my system for now. Yes.
Oh, dear.
47 minutes. Oh, dear. That's what my mother would say. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. Eric Bollert from Media Matters coming up to co-host Right Wing World after the top of the hour. And then, of course, Mondays with Edie McClurg in hour number 3. You know what? We were saying that I'm not sure how Michelle Bachmann was going to get gas to under $2. But we're just saying she may have tweeted a picture of her, deep-throating that corn dog to some of the Saudi princes.
I think she did.
She looks, and as someone pointed out to me, it is true, because she does look like she's hadn't seen one in a while and was very... enthusiastic about it.
Yes.
Just saying. Somewhere, Linda Lovelace was like, what a slut. God, ease up, sister.
And then Marcus used teeth on his.
Yeah, he looked like he was trying to pray it away.
Yeah.
He was, I don't like this. Brian in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Brian.
Yeah, I want to comment on how dangerous her statement is. These, we can call them so-called low-information voters. They will vote for her just because of $2 a gallon gas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a polite term for dummies, is what you mean. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't it really is like a race to the bottom of dumb at this point for the Republican nomination?
It's frightening.
Yeah.
It's really frightening.
It really is. Here's the latest Dopey McDoberson, Rick Perry.
Still a scientific theory that has not been proven.
Climate change. Mm-hmm.
From my perspective, is more and more being put into question.
No,
you're dumb. Wow.
Or it's pretty old, son. Pretty old. You know, little, pretty old. We don't really know how old.
Yeah, we let five-year-olds decide.
We don't know. Okay. I just love the Fatal Attraction headline. Bachman battles Perry's shadow. Michelle Bachman has a reminder for Republicans. I'm still here!
Ah.
She's become the who in Whoville in the Republican primary already. 1 week off the Iowa triumph, Bachman's feeling the effects of the latest GOP comet, Rick Perry. Her momentum, which ought to be on the rise, suddenly shows signs of ebbing amid questions about her electability. Oh, just now? Now a warning about her electability? Her privileged position as the newest, hottest candidate in the GOP field has been usurped by the Texas governor, who's also sped past her in the polls. She said, you may have heard last Saturday there was a little election in Iowa, and I was the number one winner of the Iowa straw poll. That is so sad.
Oh, bless
She's
her
like
heart.
She's like a ex-pageant, you know, beauty queen. Just, I remember. I was cow butter princess a week ago. The Iowa line, a new addition to her campaign rhetoric, seemingly designed to signal that the Tea Party champion would not be pushed out of the conversation. She will not be pushed
I'm not
going
to be ignored.
Oh.
You know what? She's probably going, you know, I may have to start saying some crazier that. Maybe I'll try that. See, that's the thing. It's like Ann Coulter. At some point, you jump the shark, right? Like, how much crazier she possibly said.
Yeah.
Hasn't she kind of done the greatest hits? I don't.
You usually after someone says, I'm not going to be ignored, they come at you with a knife.
Yeah, well, exactly.
While Madame Butterfly
exactly.
is playing
you
in the background.
Got a shooter in the bathtub is what I'm saying. Newsbusters, I'm saying, you know, not
we're
theoretically,
saying,
not politically.
Saying,
I don't. Just,
we're just saying, it's happened before.
Boy, oh boy, by the way, Aisha Tyler and John Fugelsang now have both gotten into a big Twitter fight with Andrew Breitbart, and Mama could not be prouder of them.
Uh-oh, what happened now?
Well, as you remember, John just congratulated Andrew Breitbart for the first takedown on the Anthony Weiner scandal.
Yes.
The first takedown ever of a non-black person.
That's right.
To which, in the, you know, tradition of fine conservative arguments, Breitbart just wrote, you, John. Mm-hmm. That was it. Snow.
That's
yes.
Great debate there.
So what was it? Oh, I know what it was last week. Who picked up on it first? Newsbuster, Radio Equalizer, one of those.
It was Brian
fine journalistic outfits.
Mulberry or whatever.
I knew when she said it, we were going to get a link.
Yeah.
She's, I think, something along the lines of hoping Rush Limbaugh self-immolates, which I pointed out there was very little chance of that actually happening unless he were to walk across carpeting wearing corduroys really quickly. I'm just saying, I don't. It was. I don't think, you know.
Those legs could cause some
friction.
She
actually thought that he would catch fire. Anyway, so it was the typical headline, you know, violent, lefty, liberal, would-be comedian, alleged actress, something.
Yeah. Something that something. The guy thought was an
yes,
insult.
Yes, and then
yeah.
the interwebs explode. Oh, and she said, by the way, it was amazing how quickly all the racial stuff came in.
Yep.
She got called racist.
Yeah.
Huh? I don't even know where that came from. And then suddenly a lot of people started calling her racist names, and she was just you know, disappointed. So that's what she said. That's the word she used.
Disappointed.
Yeah. Just she said not really mad. Just
disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then she started getting called a bunch of racial names, but for a joke about.
Uh huh.
All right.
Welcome to
our
world,
Aisha. In fact, may I just say, I think there was less chance that Rush Limbaugh will catch fire than that Michelle Malkin will get kicked in the nutsack at the Beverly Center by Aisha Tyler, which was her last fake threat, which was also a joke. Okay.
Aww. She's been fully embraced into our world, Aisha.
Welcome to our magical world. Any time I even vaguely posit that perhaps Ron Paul is not the most electable of candidates, I am called the C-word a record number of times.
Yeah.
That's like, to me, it just seems like a kind of a puzzling escalation, doesn't it? I mean, it's just, you know what I mean? When people are, they react a little... When you think you've said something not really, and then you're like, wow, we just went zero to nuclear winner? And huh?
It seems to me that some Ron Paul supporters have very thin skin.
You think so?
Yeah. You need a little thicker skin if you're going to be in politics, I have to say.
Wow. 58, yeah, now, see, now I'm going to get another flood of email.
Yeah. Stephanie at StephanieMiller.com.
Thin skin, you C-word. 58 minutes after the hour, right back with Eric Bullard on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine.
Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Oh, Jim, did you hear who was there Saturday night?
Yeah. I knew it was going to be her.
Aretha Franklin in the house, ladies and gentlemen. We had a mini sighting. Apparently, she was laughing very hard. So perhaps, Jim, you will give me the R-E-S-P-E-C-T that I'm entitled
Why
to.
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
No, right.
Sure. Next, you want a pink Cadillac.
Thank you, Detroit. What a great time we had. Elaine writes, Staff, I can honestly say I've never written a fan letter before, but I'm happy my first one is to you. My husband and I attended Detroit's show on Saturday. It was great. No big surprise. Like you, I believe in President Obama and am appalled at the racist element in this country that has not given him a fair chance to make important, much-needed changes for this country. Also, like you, I have family members that are living on the dark side, swallowing the lies from Fox News and Rush Limbaugh, who cried and Seeker. I feel your pain, Elaine. I feel it. All right. Thank you, Detroit. And by the way, we just announced today we are coming back for a special, a very special edition of Sexy Liberal Show in East Lansing on September 17th to benefit the Clinton County Democratic Party. You can go to WhartonCenter.com.
Yep.
And SexyLiberal.com to find about all the upcoming shows. Speaking of holy cow, holy news. Roland, the tour director, says, Steph, can you mention that Fort Lauderdale, where we're coming December 10th, actually did in terms of dollars more than any other city in a three-day period, including Chicago, Santa Fe, Madison, etc. Probably only 25% of the house remains. It's a great house, though, with great sight lines, no bad seats, etc. But we are not adding a Friday or evening show there. Go to BrowardCenter.org and buy tickets now, since they will be gone very soon.
Wow.
And some people have speculated, is this just another thing that I'm going to cave on, and I'm not.
No. This one you are not caving on.
No, we are only doing one show.
Recount your blessings, Sunshine State.
Oh, you can almost taste the sunshine.
Because Stephanie Miller is coming to South Florida.
What? Is she finally moving to the villages?
No. The state with the least popular governor is welcoming this year's most popular comedy tour, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. And it's gonna be hot.
How hot and wet do you like it?
Very hot.
Oh, it's too hot.
On December 10th, the Broward Center's Parker Playhouse in Fort Lauderdale will host the Sexy Liberal Players, led by progressive beach babe Stephanie Miller.
The exotic dancer under the name of Marie the Flame of Florida.
That's tickets are available at BrowardCenter.org or by calling 877-311-SHOW. That's 877-311-7469. South Florida, spring break is coming early this season, and the forecast calls for Cat 5 Sexy Liberal Laughter.
It's too hot. Yeah, that was weird. That was my name when I was, which was an odd name to pick at the Itchy Kitty and Reseda. Marie the Rose of Florida.
Florida.
Yeah, I don't know why. Just
the
you know,
Rose of Florida?
I don't know what it was.
Flame of Florida.
Flame of Florida. Sure, that's what it was.
Alliteration.
Yes.
Rose of Florida has
I was
no
drunk.
Other, yeah.
Rose they were like, Steph, pick maybe. A stripper name. I was like, all right. We're in Reseda, but I don't know.
The Rose of Reseda.
Right.
That's what you should have said.
Oh, if only I could go back in time.
If only you weren't drunk.
My pole dancing days. All right. Hey, kids, it's my favorite time of the week. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Oh, Eric Bollard, among the million reasons I love you with the heat of a thousand white hot suns is because you are, I guess a noted historian in that you know how to operate the Google when when Fox News does, the president's on vacation again when there's things happening. And, as you have a flashback here because you are a noted historian, facing 9.5% unemployment, Reagan set off on a 25-day summer vacation.
Yeah.
They have no sense of perspective over there, do they?
No. I mean, everyone was had been talking last week about, oh, my gosh, Bush took 300 vacation days, and at this point he had doubled Obama's vacation days, and, you know, which I think is helpful in terms of putting this into context. So I actually went back even further, and because I noticed Reagan in his first term took a lot of vacation. He, you know, he had that ranch northwest of Santa Barbara. He spent a lot of time up there. So, yeah, lo and behold, August of 1983, unemployment at 9.5%. Reagan left Washington for a 25-day vacation, and the kicker...
Where's my nostalgia music? Yes, I remember that.
And
yes.
The kicker from this Washington Post article was his aides had decided not to give him any bad news while he was on vacation.
Wow.
Because they didn't want to disturb him up in the hills.
Yes, they actually, as you say, they literally called it, quote-unquote, unnecessary news stories. Don't clutter his head with... stuff
that beautiful
mind. Happening.
Yeah.
So let's just go for the numbers. I believe what I read this weekend is that President Obama at this point has been on, before this started, 60 days of vacation. At this point, I believe Bush had been in almost 200 days of vacation.
And Clinton had been on like 19. I mean, the guy would not go on vacation. So if you add up Clinton and Obama, I think they've been on combined at this juncture, they've been on like 89. Reagan, Bush, 300 plus.
Yeah, I know. And that's the other thing.
The one other thing, you know, Bush had all these vacations. Oh, but the economy was fine, so it's no big deal. He was waging two wars while he was...
Excuse me, vacation through Hurricane Katrina and the 9/11 warning memo. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? And as you say, unemployment higher under Reagan, 9.5, and he takes off for a month?
A month.
A month. At his ranch or whatever, and it just,
and his aides were under orders not to disturb him for the 25 days.
Like, don't tell him about Lebanon.
Don't. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Oh, Karl Rove and Bill Burton.
This was awesome.
Yeah.
I love Bill Burton.
He's the...
the former... Deputy Press Secretary for Obama.
Oh, that's the other Burton. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Here they are.
The president now sits here and lectures us about how we need to take action. Well, what is his action? He has yet to put pen to paper and issue a jobs plan or a deficit reduction plan in the last 9 months.
You know, Carl,
so please, don't talk to me about ideological rigidity.
Carl,
it comes from your White House.
On this, Carl? But as someone who is a leader in a White House that turned a record surplus into a deficit that got us involved in a war that we never should have been in and turned the floor of the New York Stock Exchange into a casino, I don't think the American people are quite ready to hear a lecture from you on good government.
Hold on.
Yay!
Touchdown.
Nothing but net. All right. I mixed my sports reference. I'm sorry.
There was another great exchange, too, where Burton was talking about, you know, Republicans want the economy in a ditch. I mean, that is their stated open strategy. They want everything. They want chaos. And then Karl Rove comes back with, oh, you know, you shouldn't lecture us on patriotism. They're on the record. As Media Matters points out, McConnell, Boehner, others, they are on the record that they want Obama to fail. They want, you know, essentially the economy to fail. And when Burton pointed it out, Karl Rove got all upset.
Yeah, I know. It's hilarious when, that sort of veneer is punctured and somebody speaks the truth on Fox News.
Finally, someone said that to Karl Rove's face. I think that's what really made me excited about that exchange.
Yeah. All right. Judith Miller on the Fox News.
Look, I don't begrudge the president a vacation. I want him to take a vacation. I think everybody needs a little time off, and even a cigarette I would give him. But Martha's Vineyard, when the country is suffering the way it is, I don't know. I'd rather see somebody down on a ranch in Texas.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's a more legitimate vacation. Sure.
Clearing brush.
It's not even a ranch.
Yeah, and as I said, missing Hurricane Katrina and the 9/11 warning memo.
He was definitely down at on the ranch during the summer of 2001 when the Bin Laden warning came across the cable. He didn't really do anything about it. But
well, he did. He barbecued it. I think he barbecued the memo by mistake. So yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. This is the thing that kills me. It's like, what are we going to pretend that? Presidents can go to nice places. I mean, seriously. I mean, where do you expect them to go on vacation?
No. Yeah, I mean, the lot of the press is saying, oh, gosh, we always do this vacation thing. We don't really. You know, when Michelle Obama went on a vacation last summer, she was crucified. No one ever even looked at Laura Bush's travel schedule.
Yeah, she went for a hike.
You know, Obama goes for 10 days to be with his family, and as I pointed out last week at Politico, the talking point was he's a narcissist. He's a narcissist for going on vacation. This is not normal. This is Obama specific, and the nut jobs just can't help themselves.
Yep. Oh, and here's some more. Michael Myers in Fox and Friends Weekend.
Mr. Obama, President Obama, with these constant vacations and Martha's Vineyard, it seems to me he's mocking the poor.
Mocking
living a high life and mocking the poor.
Constant vacations to Martha's Vineyard?
Is he the guy in the hockey mask?
No, not that
Marlon. Hey, by the way, do you think Newt Gingrich is, or in, excuse me, Mitt Romney is mocking the poor by quadrupling the size of his La Jolla mansion?
Yeah.
Whilst criticizing the president?
Since when does Fox News care about poor people? That's the punchline with that one.
Yeah. Yes. The president is messing up our constant crusade for poor people on here on Fox News. All right. And some more Steve Hayes on Brit Baer.
People are really struggling. And people, you know, at virtually all economic levels, people who have our middle class Americans who might have jobs are tightening their belts in order to be able to afford things that were afterthoughts a couple of years ago. And here the president is playing golf on Martha's Vineyard. Again, I don't begrudge the president of the United States an opportunity to take a vacation. He deserves one. But the images and the optics on this one are bad for him politically.
Was that specific language that came from Frank Luntz?
I don't begrudge
the
but
president?
Can we just say for the record, everyone who doesn't begrudge the president for going on the vacation is begrudging the president.
Exactly. Thank you. And apparently he's also the first president that's ever played golf.
Yeah,
apparently that's a new
completely
thing.
New trend in the
yeah.
White House.
Yeah. Eric Bullard with extra snark this morning.
Yay.
17 minutes after the hour. Quick break and then back with more Right Wing World and Eric Bullard on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We're having a nice time.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah.
What are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that you set it off primarily on the left, if you don't mind. Thanks.
Yeah.
23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
Leave Michelle Bachmann to set it off on the right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rick Perry and all the filthy McDopersons.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be over here with the smart kids like Eric Bollert from Media Matters. Is it me, Eric, or do they seem to glory in what dummies their viewers are? The headline actually is, Fox viewers overwhelmingly think we should prepare for alien invasion before fighting climate change. Though, here is Megyn Kelly.
We asked you to vote on what steps should be taken to prevent this from happening, and here are the results. So far, 3% say we should immediately increase efforts to curb the greenhouse gases.
Mm-hmm.
Can't hurt, just in case, right? 19% suggest that we should develop weapons to kill the aliens first, but the vast majority are saying that the scientists should skip the research on this issue and focus on how to create jobs. We can use some NASA brains on that issue.
What? Huh?
Why would create jobs?
What? Fox News viewers
That's
are confused.
That's not NASA's job. Good God.
Well, it's funny is the Fox and the right-wing media routinely mock the idea of green jobs. So it's funny that there's any connection here. But, yeah, it is sort of a celebration of collective ignorance. It's let's take a poll. And we'll all agree that there is no climate change, and we'll all vote on this poll to show how much we all agree. And it's just sort of this wallowing, celebrating with each other, high-fiving that, aha, you know, none of us believe in climate change. We'll show them.
Yeah.
It's this bubble atmosphere, but it's a very proud, sort of collective knowledge that they don't know what they're talking about.
It's like Mars Attacks over there at Fox News. All right.
That's... Don't.
All right.
Stop it.
Okay. And Gretchen Carlson on noted scientist Rick Perry.
He was actually confronted by a young boy who had some questions about evolution and creationism. Rick Perry's answer, which I thought was a great answer, where he said that we teach both creationism and evolution in Texas schools, and
so
then
we don't.
You're smart enough, we leave it up to you to decide which one you like.
Mm-hmm. Leave it up to a five-year-old.
That is a pretty good answer.
Yeah, that's a good answer. And first of all, it's a big lie, and second of all, that's a good idea. Let's leave it up to five-year-olds. Give me your thesis on evolution versus creationism. Eric, I was saying, there's a piece in the LA Times, I'll find it this weekend, but, you know, there is such a constant barrage of bull from these candidates on the Republican side, it's hard to catch it all, but they don't teach both. The Texas Board of Education rejected creationism in its biology classes.
Yeah, right, right. And the idea that you go to school and no one's going to really tell you what the facts are, they're just going to give you this sort of huge buffet of information, and it's up to you, whether you're 5, 10, or 15 years old, to figure out which scientific theory is accurate and which one is sort of made up. Imagine how much more complicated your education would be if, like, every topic, you know, you know, your teachers gave you a real theory and a made-up one, and you had to spend all your time.
I mean, it really is applauding more dummyism. It's like, you know, Rick Perry's answer when the little boy asked how old is the Earth, he's like, pretty old. I don't think we really know how old. Guess we do, you dummy. Like scientists do.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's just, you know, it really is. It's active cheerleading for
I think carbon
dopiness.
Dating is voodoo. Yeah.
Remind me not to educate a child in Texas,
yes.
please.
But, well, that's why they're last in education, but number one in minimum wage jobs. So, Eric, before you go, speaking of Karl Rove on Fox, he predicted that Sarah Palin will enter the Republican.
Yeah.
Yeah, you saw that. She's her schedule next week is like that of a candidate predicted she gets in after visiting Iowa September 3rd. Your thoughts?
I think this coverage is ridiculous. It's not even like campaign coverage anymore. It's like pre-campaign coverage. I mean, there used to be, like, if you wanted to be taken seriously, you became a candidate. But the press is just for these Republicans this year. And it's not just Palin. It's Trump. It's Christie. It's Ryan.
Yeah.
I mean, they never cared what Democrats might run. They couldn't care less.
Right.
But they've embraced this whole sort of, you know, kabuki dance for Republicans. And there's A1, Wall Street Journal, front page today story about this nonsense, oh, Sarah Palin might run. Sarah Palin was in Iowa for the straw poll. You know, that's the big news. She's going to be in Iowa over Labor Day. She was in Iowa. She was at the state fair for the straw poll. She got so few votes, the Republican Party wouldn't even release the final tally. I mean, this Palin watch has become just an embarrassment for the press.
Yes.
So I hope they...
I've grown tired. All right. Eric Moeller to Media Matters. Always a pleasure, sir. See you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, there he goes. Man! Okay, Dave in Tampa, Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Steph. Moose, love the show.
Thank you.
A suggestion for a tour stop for the Sexy Liberal Tour.
Yes.
How about Tampa in August 2012 at the same time as the RNC convention?
Oh, well, what a good idea. I believe there might be Sexy Liberal Elves working on shadowing things in the election year.
I believe you might not be the first to have thought of that.
Are you coming to Fort Lauderdale December 10th?
We're going to try to make that trip across the state, very possibly.
All right.
I have a follow-up question.
Yes.
What happened to Face the Grayson? Do you still have that segment?
Every once in a while he comes on. In fact, I'm hoping he's going to come to the Fort Lauderdale show. I told him I have knitted him a patriotic thong to wear, so I'm hoping that he will show. But he comes on occasionally now, and I hope he will be, as I say, a former and future Congressman, Alan Grayson.
Absolutely. We love him down here. Well, thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you, honey. Maybe I didn't get Randy Rhoads to show up. We could have a HOA off.
That would be awesome.
We could do it. We could do dueling time checks. 29 after, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
These people bring tomorrow's show fresh and new and gay and hot.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC.com. Access your Mac or PC from anywhere, even from your iPad. GoToMyPC, free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click the Try It Free button and the promo code Stephanie. We use it in magical and wondrous ways, don't we, Chris?
Yeah, we do.
Chris prints my show prep from his computer to my printer at my house with GoToMyPC. Oh, my God, it's so magical.
You can do that.
Suddenly, at a magical time in the afternoon, I see that he has taken control of my desktop and starts moving things around like, no.
And Jim, shh, I can rifle through the things that are on her desktop.
Yes, she rifles through my personal things, and then suddenly, magically, my show prep appears on my printer. And I don't even care that he's rummaging through my under things, my electronic under things.
electronic unmentionables.
Yes, I don't even care. Sue in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Was that the same ju-
Judith Miller, who was complaining that Obama should go to a ranch, the same one who was the mouthpiece for Dick Cheney and had to resign from the New York Times because all she did was take his lies, print them, and then he would quote them?
Mm-hmm. Yes, as a stenographer for the Bush war crimes. That's her main title. Yes.
Now, that's chutzpah.
It is chutzpah, my friend. L'chaim.
Chutzpah.
All right, then.
Well, we have to start calling her Michelle Botchman, then, if she's going to continue doing that.
Oh, boy.
She botches everything, so that makes sense.
Yeah, although you have to read the James Rainey piece in the LA Times we just posted. Jim, these are not gaffes.
No. Nope.
These are deliberate in some
dog
cases.
Whistles.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Jehovah dog whistles. You are the Jehovah dog.
Get it.
Now, do you really want someone who wants the world to end to have the nuclear launch code?
No.
I'm going to say no.
We're in the last days.
Yay.
Isn't it great?
Yay. Yay for the rapture. Okay. Yeah,
Lord, the day is at hand. We are in the last days. You are Jehovah God.
You're a Jehovah dog.
You know,
it's like she's talking to a Pomeranian.
I think Herman Cain must tell Jesus if that is true. Because I hope Jesus knows.
I must tell Jesus.
Because, you know, he's got a pack. He's got a, you know. Okay.
All of my trials.
I wonder how often they have to get that Casio repaired because of all of the
banging.
John Cash is banging on it.
Keys.
Hey, Schroeder, ease up. I must tell Jesus to get a piano player with more nuance.
Yeah. Okay. Republicans don't go for nuance. Don't be silly. Right.
They're like old aunts.
Yeah.
Hi! Jim Flavin. Jim was bringing up the Flavin this morning.
Jim's awake this morning.
Wallo.
Are you okay?
He was here early. There's something. What? What's happening?
Going on?
All right. We were just talking to Eric Bollert about this headline. Fox viewers overwhelmingly think we should prepare for an alien invasion before fighting climate change.
Yeah. Okay.
It's such a parade of stupid. Because the actual story is more confusing than a new supposedly NASA-funded study, except it wasn't.
Right.
Postulating that aliens may attack humans over climate change had all the ingredients for a perfect Fox faux controversy. A Chiron on Fox and Friends read, NASA, global warming may provoke an alien attack.
Sure. That's not what
NASA does. And it wasn't funded by NASA, and it wasn't. And so they did a dopey poll of the dopey Fox viewers that believed the original dopey information that they gave out.
Maybe it was somebody calling from NASA. The
Bahamas. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, NASA. Okay. Our bad. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Long Island. Yeah. That's.
Meanwhile, it's Mars attacks over in
Long Island.
We have to strike NASA. All right. Annihilate. Kill. Kill. Kill.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
We can't do anything about global warming because the aliens are going to attack soon.
Wow. Okay. Alex, speaking of these Sunday TV shows, Steph, Obama's former press secretary, Robert Gibbs, was on Meet the Press this morning, and they played the clip of Bachman where she says that Obama fears her candidacy the most.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And he was asked if that was so. You could see Gibbs trying not to laugh as he prepared to answer the question, although there was a brief you-got-to-be-kidding smile.
Yeah.
Which.
Oh, I'd love to see that debate.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy. Michelle Bachman. Okay.
Worked tirelessly until slavery was no more. Carbon dioxide, it is a harmless gas.
Sure.
Everything she says is just for baloney.
If you're involved in the gay and lesbian lifestyle, it's bondage.
The Lord says, be submissive.
Happy birthday to Elvis Presley today.
Because he has a lot of chutzpah. We are the Saudi Arabia of oil. We're running out of rich people.
What does God say when he looks at you? Or when he looks at me? He wants to say, she's hot.
I may not always get my words right. Chutzpah, 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 chutzpah.
So say happy birthday to Elvis Presley today.
We'll keep working and we'll get her done.
Yes, sirree.
So the founding fathers worked tirelessly to stop something that was no big deal, apparently.
Yes, according to her many writings, as James Rainey points out in the LA Times. Apparently, it would have been inhumane to release the slaves. The founding fathers were being benevolent.
Because they were enjoying the beatings. And,
yes, they were being benevolent. That would have been cruel.
Rancid porridge.
And inhuman to release them into such a bad economy.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Jim, you would have enjoyed the Aisha Tyler and I improvised a Sarah McLachlan ad, and I was petting her fondly in my benevolent way.
Did you say beauty pie?
Oh, you are so beauty pie.
She's saying, I will remember you.
Right. I will remember you.
I can't watch those commercials.
I can't either. Oh, I can't either. Oh, Blinky Kitty, no.
Blinky Kitty.
Oh.
You're not a cat person.
Jill in Ithaca, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Jill.
Welcome. I am a cat person, and this is Chili Cream Ale.
It's Chili Cream Ale from Ithaca.
From Syracuse, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, first of all, the HOA is coming here.
Randy Rhoads?
September 24th. Oh. She's coming. Alan Tolmes and Bill Press.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. And, oh, my God.
Go hoe it up with her.
What? Sorry?
Go hoe it up with her.
I will.
All right.
Okay.
So,
and, Jim,
yes?
I think if it's okay, we could please start talking a little bit about 9/11 because it's going to be the 10th anniversary.
That's true.
Yeah.
But they don't want to hear what I have to say about it.
Well, who doesn't want to hear
I'm going to, these two.
I'll let you talk.
I'm just going to refer to it.
It would be great.
I'm just going to refer to it as the catalyzing.
Cauterizing.
Cauterizing.
No. All right. Thank you, Jill. All right.
From the PNAC, Project for New America.
Yes. Okay. I was searching for that with my brain, too. Yes. The PNAC, Project for New America.
Catalyzing catastrophic Pearl Harbor-like event.
That's it.
Something to that effect.
Yes. But cauterizing was not even close.
No.
I was trying to be helpful.
That's what you do when you try to be helpful.
Well, you know.
Ham-handed mook.
Catalytic conversion? No.
No.
No,
that's not right. No.
Computer says no.
Categorical?
No. Stop it. We've got it already.
All right.
Stop helping. Okay. Republican.
Something to do with cats.
Yeah.
Mm. All right. I often say, what's with these guys' egos? Like, what? Rick Santorum, what's up? Is there some world that he actually thinks he's going to be president? Is that? I don't.
Bless his heart.
He spent $26 million on his Senate reelection bid in 2006 and lost by 18 points. Ladies and gentlemen, 18 points.
Wow. That's a bad return on your investment.
Yeah. So the headline, what I was thinking, what makes him believe he can defeat President Obama and win the White House in 2012? He said 2006 was a miserable election year for Republicans. That's, it wasn't him.
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't think they all lost by 18 points.
No.
And Wile E. Coyote still believes he can walk on air until he suddenly can't.
And notice he is able to until he realizes.
Still,
yeah.
And he still scrambles as if this time it might work. And then it doesn't. He's the Wile E. Coyote of the race. He's like really off the cliff already. Just like,
then he looks at the screen. Uh-oh.
Look right into camera.
Uh-huh.
All right. What? There's not really a hole in that mountain? Oh.
You will believe a dog can fly.
All right. John Huntsman, is he still in the race?
Yeah, but you know what? He's making a hell of a lot of sense.
That's why he's not doing well.
I know.
Stop making sense.
Okay.
I think this is a serious problem. The minute that the Republican Party becomes the party, the anti-science party, we have a huge problem. We lose a whole lot of people who would otherwise allow us to win the election in 2012.
There goes his poll ratings on the Republican side plummeting like Wile E. Coyote.
What? I kind of like him. I'm forced to
How can
to
you
vote.
Not like a guy that was in a band called
Wizard!
Wizard!
Excellent!
Well, thanks. I love just because of the Ustream, we reflexively do the fingers.
Yeah.
Wizard!
Excellent!
All right. Oh, Mitt Romney, he's still in it too? Awesome!
Yeah, he in his house.
What's he? It was a great cartoon about with him speaking out of both sides of his mouth, like several times. Just like several mouths. Yeah.
Simplifying the tax code, perhaps with fewer brackets. The idea of one bracket alone would be even better in some respects.
Mm.
Who let the brackets out?
Woof. Hey, who let the...
Wheel of right-wing hypocrites!
He in June told voters he was unemployed. He's also unemployed, so, you know, he feels your pain.
Sure,
he's applied for a permit to bulldoze his 3,000-square-foot, $12 million home in La Jolla, California, replace it with one nearly four times the size.
Oh,
Because the old one was just too small.
New Home Beach stories. More than 11,000 square feet. He also owns a $10 million estate in New Hampshire. Julie in Seattle writes, Mama, isn't this the same horse as ours who was last week critiquing Obama for vacationing on Martha's Vineyard instead of the Anaheim Motel 6 like a real American? Yeah, quadruple the size of his, I don't know if he can hear the waves or something. He's, I don't know. A Democratic spokesman said, let's hope he hires a contractor that provides union-equivalent wages and helps to stimulate the local economy. Yeah. He could also register to vote here and help out the Republicans, whose numbers are dwindling.
Yeah, he's building a beach house. He clearly doesn't believe in global warming.
Yeah, help us out. We got, we're at, 12% unemployment here in California. Yeah. Come on, give us a little sugar mittens. I know lots of good union folk down La Jolla way. Love to build your little shack. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
We've definitely got our thing together, don't we? Nobody but
Stephanie Miller
and me.
Don't hear disco strings that much these days anymore.
No, you don't.
Maybe and there's a reason. Thank you. We crashed into that together. Yeah. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number Mondays with Edie McClurg. Live in studio coming up in just a few moments. Andy in Tucson. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Andy.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to read you a blurb out of yesterday's newspaper. They list the political events going on around town. Mm-hmm. And next Saturday, Tea Party members will gather at the southeast corner of Ina and Oracle Roads to speak out against tax increases and demand a stop to pork barrel spending. It says bring your water, hats, and sunscreen. It doesn't say to bring your tea bags, but I imagine they'll be bringing those too. This is the same corner where Gabby Giffords and the others were shot.
Wow.
And I think
nice.
It takes a lot of nerve and insensitivity to decide that's where they want to hold their rally.
Yeah, and I bet you there'll be guns there. I mean, it really, for Tom Coburn to pick a time like this to say, gee, I wish I could bring a gun onto the floor of Congress, you know, right after Gabby Giffords has made her first, appearance on the floor of Congress. It just, I know. I mean, it really.
I know. And just this past weekend, Ron Barber, who is part of her staff and was one of the people who was shot, had another civility concert that, this was the second one. He has formed a civility committee. And this is the kinds of responses that we get when we're trying to move forward.
I mean, I mean, beside the fact, Andy, like you say, when you talk about lower taxes, the fact that we're at historically low tax rates, it's like, what are you protesting and why? And no matter what side of the partisan divide you are, why would you do something that insensitive to pick that corner?
Right.
You know what I mean? It just, it's, I don't know.
Right, right. My family has a personal connection. My husband is employed at one of the stores in that shopping center. And my neighbor was Judge Roll.
I'm so sorry.
When you see the way that people are responding, it's depressing. It's just depressing.
And I'm sure, Andy, you read the same story I did over the weekend, that Gabrielle Giffords now knows who was killed. And, to add another layer of sort of sadness to this, because, for a long time you could understand she was at such a critical point in her recovery. But that was the news that came out this weekend, correct? That,
that is in the same section of this newspaper.
Right, right. Apparently.
Her calling Gabe Zimmerman's father and...
Yeah.
And just her reaction to all of this. I was in her office about 2 weeks ago. I volunteer at another office that's in the same complex, and I cannot tell you how wonderful the people are over there. They took me on a whole tour.
I mean, Andy, I was just going to say, but can you even imagine, I mean, with everything she's been through, this apparently happened just a few weeks ago, that her husband told her in late July that, obviously her close aide Gabe Zimmerman, Judge John Roll, a close friend, the 9-year-old Christina Taylor Green had, and you're like, can you even imagine at the point of her recovery, now she's trying to process this information?
Correct, correct. Yeah. And then these people come out there, and I don't know what they're thinking. if it was a family member of theirs or somebody that they knew personally, their hearts would be broken. Yep. And to put this in their face, there are, I don't know who did it, but somebody put these crosses and Star of Davids and things along the road there that have not been moved. And eventually I know Safeway is going to be putting up a memorial. But this is like right in, it's like rubbing dirt in their face.
I know. Well, I mean, and you know what I thought, as if she could be any more extraordinary, but you know, I didn't realize that she got this news days before her appearance,
right,
and she still made that appearance.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean.
And talk about strength. In addition to that, I just heard this morning that one of our state legislators, who's a Republican that I did not vote for, he's in my district, is decided he is forming an exploratory committee to run against her for her seat.
No, I mean, at some point in you go, yeah, maybe at long last they just have no decency. There were actually people, as we reported, I think, I can't remember now exactly in which right wing circles, maybe it was radio shows, but saying, oh, I don't know if her vote should count because we don't really know if she, you know.
She was probably the sanest person on the whole floor.
Yeah, thank you.
Was.
All right, Andy, thanks so much for your call.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It. Yeah, she was talking about that she called Gabe Zimmerman's father and, you know, expressed her condolences. He said, you know, she still has some trouble with language. There's no question she can get her point across. Her comprehension is 100%. When she gets excited or stressed, he said it's harder for her to put words together in a sentence. That's the thing she has the most trouble with. She's having to relearn language, and that's tough. She's having to learn how to write with her left hand at this point, and now she's going to have to start the grieving process the rest of us started back in January. So, you know, how can you not give her, you know, she still showed up on the floor of Congress to vote.
So remarkable.
I mean, it's like going through the tragedy twice, going through it, you know, again. So, anyway, all right. So we were talking about, you know, Rachel Maddow often says that she thinks she's the only pundit that thinks Sarah Palin is actually going to run. Because, I mean, everybody else says no, but then Karl Rove on the Fox.
She has a schedule next week that looks like that of a candidate, not a celebrity. And then this video that she released yesterday, you know, she made a surprise appearance at the Iowa State Fair, and now she released this video saying, see you September 3rd. You know, look, either this is her last chance. She either gets in or gets out after this visit next week. I think she gets in.
By the way, I love this story. Where did this come from? I forget.
Mediaite.
Okay, Mediaite. Sarah Palin releases new something ad. Thank you, Iowa.
Yeah.
They keep crossing out campaign.
Right.
She won't admit that it's a... Yeah. Sarah Palin releases new campaign / something ad.
Yeah.
A week after the Iowa State Fair and Ames straw poll, Sarah Palin has released a new campaign crossed out something ad commemorating that stop on her campaign crossed out something bus tour. The video entitled Iowa Passion is a typically classy affair from the former governor, looking a bit like the opening credits to Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
It shows the beautiful sights and sounds of the fair, intercut with media figures in Iowa speaking rapturously about Palin. All in all, it's an impressive bit of something. Ing. Not campaigning.
No,
something. Ing. However, she did learn from the mistakes of Michelle Bachmann and Rick Perry not to show the actual mastication of the foods there.
Oh, good.
Yeah. After the picture of Michelle Bachmann deep-throating the Newsweek, I still dare Dina Brown to put that on the cover of Newsweek if you pick an unfair photo. We get a quick clip of a deep-fried butter stick stand, hear an unseen voice say, you're not really going to eat that, are you? And Palin respond with a hearty, heck yeah! Before cutting to something else that does not show her deep-throating a
butter
stick in a way that would make Linda Lovelace say, what a slut.
Yeah.
Down home credentials proven, image protected. Now that's the work of an ingenious
something.
Staff. It's definitely not a campaign, but something. Hey, looky here. 16 days for $1,000. Rick Perry's dabble in the porn industry. Why, what's that all about?
Porn and Rick Perry in the same sentence?
What?
You don't say.
See how I neatly jumped from Linda Lovelace reference to the Rick Perry porn story. I'll tell you all about that when we come back.
Well, wow, that's a tease.
And then I'm a great big tease on top of it all. Slut, look at me, slut.
We'll tell Edie McClurg all about that story.
Indeed we will. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
not start hour number three with a serious head injury. Throw that microphone at Jim Ward. Although I'm sure Edie McClurg has played a nurse in something.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
There she
is. Photos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads. They all adore it.
Edie McClurg.
Good morning, Edie McClurg.
Good morning. Yes, I did play a nurse.
This time, before you even got here, the obscure Edie McClurg thing has not only been mentioned, but sent to us. This is a TV, an ad for TV Guide?
Yes, from the 80s.
Mm.
$500 for this VCR, but I bought something extra that makes programming it a breeze.
A breeze.
Wow.
Was it a beta VCR?
A VCR, one of those fancy new VCRs.
$500 for a VCR.
And if I'll show in this Brazilian power crystal for free.
And call now to get 6 free minutes. And while supplies last, this Brazilian power crystal absolutely free.
All right. Not that that doesn't, you are the biggest of big names. But I just have to say again. Did you hear who was at the Detroit Sexy Liberal show Saturday night? Aretha Franklin is there. Chris in Yankton writes, you guys made the Queen of Soul laugh. So cool. I know, right? I know, right? Aisha and I sat backstage. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, well. Oh, my God. Aretha's here. Aretha's laughing.
You were
oh
selling.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we were sisters doing it for ourselves, yeah. Yeah, it was very exciting. We didn't get to meet her, which is good, because we would have spazzed out all over her.
Yeah.
But she was very sweet. She didn't want to disrupt, you know, because then everyone would have just been going, oh, my God, look, it's raining. And we'd be like, hey, we're over here telling the jokes. Hello. Hello.
Yeah, she had.
But there were several Aretha sightings, and she was laughing very hard. We're told.
Oh, God, yay! Yay! Oh, and I hear you're going to Portland.
Indeed, I. Well, wait a minute. Now you're getting ahead of me. I have.
Oh.
First of all.
Oh, we were going to billboard.
Popular
eh?
Demand. We are coming back to Michigan already, September 17th to Lansing,
cool,
for a very special performance of Sexy Liberal Show for the Clinton County Democratic Party. You can go to WhartonCenter.com for tickets to that. They have been fighting very hard against Governor Rick Snyder's emergency financial manager law, which is an assault against democracy and collective bargaining. They've been recruiting strong candidates that will stand tough to stop the bullying Republicans in the county and its respective townships. Republicans have voted to, quote, sweep this un-American infestation out of office, ladies and gentlemen. One time Republican county commissioner said, if I had my way, I'd run every Democrat out of Clinton County. Well,
whoa,
not if the sexy liberals have anything to do about it. Get your tickets now, sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook. And yeah, we have, we did a lot of announcements, Edie. We've got, what did we do? Oh, we just announced Fort Lauderdale on Friday. December 10th, and we are almost sold out. That was the quickest sale ever, and we don't have a radio station there. Check that out.
Yeah.
So, again, go to sexyliberal.com, and then you're right. Do you love Portland?
I did the Portlandia show with Fred Armisen, yeah, from Saturday,
yes,
Night Live, and I did my scene with the mayor.
Oh.
And, yes, in the show.
Yeah.
And I just was up there for the gay, lesbian, bi, transgender.
And by some stroke of fate, it has just been named Sluttiest City in America by some weird coincidence right when we announce the Portland Sexy Liberal Show January 7th.
Well,
David,
congratulations. If you don't take me up there for that, then we're crazy.
Congratulations.
My fan base,
Portland,
up there is far and wide.
Among Portlandians?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, heavens. All right. Lots
and the mayor is young and cool.
Really,
wow.
Now?
Yeah.
Edie, you said that in a slutty sort of Portlandian way.
Yeah, he's so cute.
Mm. If you saw that saucy look on her face, you stream, but that was not a... Mm. All right. Okay, so lots to get to. I love this story. Being a Flintstones fan. Cops, man, because again, out of Michigan, where we just came from. Cops, man tries to use his feet as brakes, Flintstone style.
Yabba-dabba-doo!
Oh, worked for Fred. See, we're here in L.A. in the land of people on the freeway going, what the is that guy doing? What the?
Yeah.
Get the...
How do you
go?
Do that?
What do you...
Okay. The floor must have been rusted out or something. So
yes. Well, let me explain. Roseville, please. Michigan. A 24-year-old Detroit area man who tried using his feet to stop a runaway pickup truck with faulty brakes.
Oh.
What, he
caused
multiple, the door?
Caused, yeah, multiple collisions and exhibited, quote-unquote, moronic decision-making. Not often the police reports.
Well,
specifically,
how about turning off the key?
Yeah.
moronicness is specifically cited in the police complaint. After the vehicle's brakes failed on a busy street in Roseville, about 2 miles north of Detroit, the man continued driving and stuck his feet outside the car to stop it. Witnesses said the man reached speeds of about 40 miles an hour and was able to stop the car on at least two occasions. The car eventually struck four other vehicles.
You could downshift, first of all.
Yeah. Yes.
Then you could engage the parking brake.
Mm-hmm.
And then your feet as a last resort.
Yes, and then perhaps down the list of bad decisions.
Turn off the engine was a good idea.
Yeah.
Yes.
Except then if it's power steering, you might lose.
I once almost ran myself over with my own car. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, I used to, my mailbox, I lived up a sort of like a hill. My driveway was a big hill, and the mailbox was a, and I just, you know how you sometimes neglect the P, because I didn't realize that I had not quite put it, and I went to get the mail, and I turned around, and I was like, and then my own car door knocked me into the bushes, and then the car just went into the curb, and everything was fine.
We nearly lost you, dear.
Yes.
We nearly lost you.
I almost ran myself over.
Oh,
Edie, thank you for your faux concern. I appreciate that.
Oh, didn't it sound real?
That sounded almost as real as your excitement about the VCR. For sale.
$500.
And I think I got paid $500.
Yeah. Wow.
I'd like to do some commercial work.
You were in that commercial with Luke Duke and Mr. Belvedere.
Yes.
So, that was an awesome... I need to post that on your on Steph's Facebook page. Mm. Yeah.
I once was a beard date for Mr. Belvedere.
Oh, really?
Yes, to a big occasion.
That's
nice. Mm-hmm. Oh, and he tried so hard to be my
date. Sounds like my date with Greg Brady to the Emmys.
Yeah.
The very brief period I had a TV show. Yes. Oh, Aisha Tyler and I were discussing, because you know, you've been on big TV shows and how you get the star treatment, and then when you're not anymore, not so much. Yeah.
It happened to me from 1 week to the next.
Oh, yeah. No, me too.
On NBC, I was in the star dressing room because I was the star of a show, and then we were canceled after five episodes, and then I was a bit player on Richard Pryor's short-lived show.
Sure.
Along with Robin Williams, Marsha Warfield.
Any names?
I mean, it was we were all just starting our career.
Yeah.
And they had Marsha Warfield and I downstairs in the basement with a two-person couch.
Awesome.
That was it.
Storage room B. Storage room B is where you go when things don't work out.
We're going to need to go ahead and move you downstairs into storage B.
No.
New people coming in and need all the space we can get.
I was told I could keep my stapler.
Yeah. Oh, no, here in the, I will tell you our sad story. Oh, because we were waiting at the baggage claim in Detroit for Aisha's Booty Booty Cheese t-shirts to come. It was taking hours. And we're like, I don't know, it's probably already in Homeland Security. They're like, it's a terrorist code word. What does boogity boogity cheese mean? Like, what? And I was recounting the story once at LAX where it takes longer to get your luggage than it does your flight, no matter where you're coming from.
Yes.
Even Australia, it still takes longer to wait for your bag. But I remember one time the entire, like, the only one bag came out on another carousel, not ours, and Marlo Thomas and her entourage sweeped in. Like, her bag just came out instantly. Yes, and she had all these handlers, and And Aisha and I were counting a couple times we've had TV shows, and you get those VIP airport handlers and all the fancy stuff.
They
and
walk
then,
you through so you don't
And have then they take it all away.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. My late night TV show was like Cinderella. Even Cinderella got to keep, you know, one shoe. I didn't, nothing. Nothing. They took the clothes, the shoes, everything. All right, and then you're back. You're back, you know. All right. I had another special humiliation. I think I've told you this one. I was on the Paramount lot, was where my show was, stage 29, and then I was back auditioning to be, you know, the fourth lead, this role you probably got on a sitcom, and I'm lying with all the other actors, and a tour group came through, and someone went, oh, that's Stephanie Miller, and I was, shut up!
Shut up! I'm trying to read my line!
All right.
Oh, aren't you glad you aren't going up for part
of that anymore? Oh, that was seriously... first of all, I sucked at it. Bad.
Oh, well.
Oh.
Sorry.
I really sucked. At least I've not been attacked by a billy goat for 3 hours, and I think that's the important thing, no matter how bad a day you're having.
What?
This economy, no job.
Who got attacked by a billy goat?
Oh, a German tourist couple had their hands full for 3 hours with a goat that would not stop attacking them. I'm going on vacation soon. I'm sure something like this may happen to
me. Don't wear perfume.
That's a now that is a determined. Well, goats are determined, I guess.
I guess they are.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Oh, did I not mention the porn story about Rick Perry yet?
Oh. Ooh. What?
Pardon me. My bad. In 1995, then serving as Texas Agriculture... Oh, thank you. Agricultural Commissioner. Rick Perry bought stock in Movie Gallery, which until its bankruptcy in 2010 was the largest distributor of pornography in America.
Oh, wow!
The second largest video rental company behind Blockbuster and one of the few that rented pornography in its stores. According to tax records, Perry acquired stock in April of 95 and sold just days later, earning less than $1,000 from the transaction. So he's a bad investor and a porn monger. Tell that to all his Christian prayer palooza friends over there. All right. So, yeah, speaking of which, we'll talk about some of the people that are behind the Rick Perrys and Michelle Bachmans of the world as we continue. Mondays with Edie McClurg.
Hey!
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Just stay on this frequency. We'll be right with you. Just stay on this frequency.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
And I'm here to remind you of the mess you left when you went away. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Nothing ironic about that.
Nuh-uh. It's the...
Apparently she was singing about Dave Coulier.
Oh, really? Yeah. Thank you. Oh, that's right. I remember that fun fact. Not so fun for her.
Oh.
Bitter, party one. All right, 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free for many. Oh, we were just talking about our, well, my canceled television show and your various TV experiences, Edie. And Omar has sent some listener comedy.
Oh.
Introducing Steph TV. See, it's more, they're spitballing. My listener's spitballing for me, Edie. Hey, Steph, so if Glenn Beck can have his own TV channel, why can't someone with actual brains and talent have one as well? Well, Rachel Maddow already does, but okay. Come on, spend some of that liberal talk radio money and create your own channel. Oh, yes, that'll be a high-tech production with this excess cash. Here's some ideas for content. I hate my boss. Labor management relations advice from Rebecca. Who hates me?
Yeah.
With the heat of 1,000 miles.
Huh?
Never seen it. Chris LeBoy's really short movie review show. Because he hasn't seen anything. Hasn't seen Godfather. Hasn't seen nothing. What did you not see last week that you almost got fired for again?
I don't know.
See? You don't even remember what you didn't see because you haven't seen anything. Are you smarter than Jim Ward? A quiz show. And the answer to that question is no, you're not. Eat my gravel soup, bitches. Aisha tries to stay calm while she debates right-wing pundits. My Fair Lindsay. Leading by example, Edie McClurg turns Lindsay Lohan into a lady. That would be entertaining.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Root SEAL Team 6, Hal and John are cool special warfare operators who drive a Prius across the country and liberate the oppressed. Bipartisan dance party with Shelley Wright. There'll be no best dancers contest because that would be taking sides. I always try to drag her into politics. By the way, congratulations, Shelley Wright got married on Saturday. My good friend got married to her beautiful fiancé, Lauren, on Saturday, which I didn't miss. I was in Detroit.
Well,
partying with Aretha, you know, so little time, so many big name music stars in my life.
Hottie too.
Jeez. Yeah, they're beautiful. Look at the Google the pictures. Both wearing white dresses, beautiful, beautiful. Oh wait, there's one more. Omar has one more segment for the Steph TV. Miller questions Obama. You finally prove you're not just a devoted Obama bot during a no-holds-barred interview with the president. Sample questions. Why are you so awesome? Do we have to have another election? And isn't questioning you an act of treason?
Shut up, Omar.
Stupid. Stupid McStuperson. All right. So, Robert Gibbs actually talking about jobs.
The president's not worried about his job. He's worried about creating jobs for millions of Americans who've been out of work for 6 months or 2 years or longer.
By the way, he's going to announce that, Chris, when we're on vacation, and Karl Rove saying, as will, that's when Sarah Palin's going to get in the presidential. See, everything will happen while we're on vacation.
It always does.
We're helpers like that. Representative Elijah Cummings of Maryland.
When he came in, he talked about hope. He talked about jobs. He talked about fairness. He talked about addressing Wall Street effectively and efficiently and trying to make a difference. He's got to go back to those basic points.
By the way, how much do we love us some Representative Maxine Waters she's our hometown girl.
Yep.
Because she's, you know, plucky. That's my favorite thing when you call me and go, oh, turn on CNN, Maxine Waters is mad.
I'm not afraid of anybody. This is a tough game. You can't be intimidated. You can't be frightened. As far as I'm concerned, the Tea Party can go straight to hell.
Oh, yeah. Maxine! Yeah. Go, girl!
No more sugar and spice. It ain't a man's world.
I once had the distinct unpleasure of having to follow her at a speech. And I remember the actual room was vibrating when she got done
firebrand.
Speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And now here's the fart joke comedian. What's going on, Los Angeles? Oh, all right. By the way, Jim, so I don't know what's happening, but it looks like Gaddafi is pretty close to being bye-bye.
They can't find him.
They can't find it. Where in the world is Muammar Gaddafi?
And are the boys
in custody?
Yeah. I'm just saying, wasn't that the last round of Obama naysaying? Oh, look what he's doing. He's screwing it all up. Maybe and then it's never going to happen.
I have no idea what's going on.
I don't know either. Exactly.
Places.
The Assistant Secretary of State, Jeffrey Feltman.
In our view, the best protection for Libyan civilians would be for Muammar Gaddafi to step down now.
Can Matt Lauer find him? Can't they do a segment? Jeffrey Feltman again.
It is clear that the situation is moving against Gaddafi. We firmly believe that his days are numbered.
We know where he is. He's north, south, east, west.
Doesn't Rummy know?
Southwest of there.
Down near Tikrit, right?
What he knows that they may not know, and make sure he knows what they know that he may not know.
Oh, boy. Okay.
That's my point.
What?
Jiminy Christmas.
Yes.
Nice stars and garters. I'll be a monkey's uncle.
Okay. All right, Edie, how about that Rick Perry? Just when you thought the, dumb Republican clown car was all full.
Yep.
Here comes,
yep. There you boy, damn Texans.
Oh, boy. Watch while I this haystack in a really manly way. I don't believe no gay science. Well, yeah, you have to look at the...
But there's one way that you can you can discount... an idea altogether.
Yeah.
And that is, if this person is espousing it is unsaved, right. Then you don't have to pay any attention to what they say because they're not saved.
Yeah. Well, we were just saying, you have to look at the people these people have been surrounded by. They are hard right lunatic fringe. Dr. James Leninger is a Texas millionaire and right-wing ideologue who has basically subsidized his entire career, gave $1.1 million back when he was whatever. Pro voucher for schools, anti-gay, hardline conservative. Just frightening. It really is. 29 minutes after the hour, we continue Mondays with McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
A sweet gal and a hell of a good cook.
Huh? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. We're in the midst of Mondays with Edie McClurg. Delightful and talented. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hey, no one's called with an obscure Edie McClurg appearance from something decades ago. What's up, listeners?
Well, Chris took care of
that.
Oh, yes, that's true. This is from someone actually sent audio, so now they feel their work is done this morning.
I guess so.
This is from an ad for TV Guide.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up. Hold on.
the actual TV Guide from the...
In the 80s.
Yes, in the 80s.
This was Mr. Belvedere and Tom Wopat.
Those were your co-stars in the commercial?
No, we each did a separate one, I think.
Oh.
I think.
Okay.
There we go.
All right. Okay.
This antenna, $14.95. But they're really pulling great TV.
Oh, no, we were in it together.
I've got a secret little accessory.
$500 for this VCR, but I bought something extra that makes programming it a breeze.
$6,000.
By the way, and I still don't know how to program a VCR. I know, they're obsolete. I still don't know how to do it.
You have to actually be there and press the button.
I never figured out TiVo, and now I'm on to what the things in your cable box, right?
I love
that's still a little dicey for me.
I love the little tracking knobs when the tapes start to get funky.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Only $500, 81.
$500.
My goodness.
Makes programming it a breeze.
Gracious. All right. Never let it be said that Republicans don't feel your pain in this job environment. Unemployed constituents stage a sit-in at Paul Ryan's office. Ryan's staff calls the cops.
What?
Who are lucky they still have jobs.
Yeah.
After Paul Ryan's budget. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yesterday, I love this. What a wuss. Seven unemployed constituents of Representative Paul Ryan stage a sit-in. Eddie is so touchy, isn't he, Eddie Munster?
What a rabble horde it is. Seven people.
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie?
Seven people are touching me.
You can't leave me.
They staged a sit-in in his office in Kenosha, Wisconsin, to protest his decision not to hold any free public town halls. An additional 100 protesters picketed outside. He'll only speak to residents willing to pay $15 a piece now. So it costs you $15 to boo Paul Ryan from now on. And his abolish Medicare, here's a couple vouchers, grandma program.
Cheap at price.
Instead of meeting with protesters, Ryan's staff called the police. The seven protesters occupying his office left the building after negotiations with police to end the sit-in ended peacefully. Woo!
What a wussy.
So the only way these people can talk to their elected official is to donate to his re-election fund.
Exactly.
Wow, that's un-American.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right.
Well, in his defense, he can't go outside because he's a vampire and he'll burn up.
Sure. Thank you, Jim.
That's what those dark curtains were about.
Jim is here to help. He's just here to supply missing information. Okay.
I won't go outside. I won't. You can't make me. I won't. I won't.
All right. Did we mention, by the way, that the Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Fort Lauderdale December 10th, and we went on sale Friday, Edie, and we are almost, we are three-quarters sold out already for a December 10th date, and we have no radio station there.
You are a hot item, lady.
Why, thank you. Why, where is that promo for the Sexy I bring this up for a reason. All right.
Recount your blessings, Sunshine State.
Oh, you can almost taste the sunshine.
Because Stephanie Miller is coming to South Florida.
What? Is she finally moving to the villages?
No. The state with the least popular governor is welcoming this year's most popular comedy tour, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. And it's gonna be hot.
How hot and wet would you like it?
Very hot.
Oh, it's too hot.
On December 10th, the Broward Center's Parker Playhouse in Fort Lauderdale will host the Sexy Liberal Players, led by progressive beach babe Stephanie Miller.
The exotic dancer under the name of Marie, the Flame of Florida.
That's me.
Tickets are available at BrowardCenter.org or by calling 877-311-SHOW. That's 877-311-7469. South Florida, spring break is coming early this season, and the forecast calls for Cat 5 Sexy Liberal Laughter.
Oh, it's too hot. Yes, it's too
from the right stuff? The Flame of Florida? The exotic dancer? I think it might have been.
I thought it was from my life. My point is, there is, like, 80 something happening across the country. I'm telling you that Sexy Liberal is selling out, while Glenn Beck's little thing in Israel, not so much. Oh, no. He's having a little, I don't know what it is, rally? Israel rally. Mm-hmm. It's lost its momentum, Jim. With once you lose the sizzling electricity, it is Joe Lieberman. You might as well.
I don't see how he can possibly go on without the excitement of a Joe Lieberman on stage with him.
I'm just saying, Sexy Liberal selling out everywhere. Aretha Franklin there Saturday night in Detroit. And one of the big selling points for Glenn Beck's. What the hell? What kind of selling? Oh, Joe Lieberman's going to be there. I got to get a ticket.
Well, I need a nap, so that's
perfect. I have insomnia, so okay. One of the big selling points for Glenn Beck's Restoring Courage rally in Israel this month has been the presence of Senator Joe Lieberman. Back in June, as his Fox show was busy death-rattling, Beck announced with no small amount of pride that Lieberman was one of the first people he reached out to when planning the rally, and the senator was going to attend and perhaps even lead a delegation from the U.S., an entire delegation.
Sure. A delegation of seven people.
Now, 5 days from the event itself, Lieberman has pulled out.
Oh.
With the usual, because of a family commitment, Senator Lieberman will
I have a commitment of some kind to do something over a similar time period, so I have to do that thing, whatever it is.
That backyard barbecue, I think.
Yeah.
How much you want to bet that's that thing I tell Rebecca to say when there's something I don't want to do? Thing with a guy. Yeah. I just write her back, thing with a guy. Mm. And then she makes up some elaborate... But normally now I am busy, so it's true. If you're listening, it's true, but I'm just
now
saying.
Now they'll all know.
Yeah.
No, right. Now I am actually busy with 60 Liberal, but, you know, uh-huh. I'm saying previously I would have a thing with a guy at a place whenever that other thing was.
I can't go, Glenn. I'm having a pork fondue party. And, so it's...
And yeah, he's just with him now. Something that, like, he knows he's not really doing that. Yeah, it's,
yeah, I have mm-hmm. to lie through my
with
teeth.
Shrimp poppers.
But, Jim, you know, it's not like Glenn Beck has not filled the void already. He has booked John Voight.
Oh, great. Wow, that would
actor
be crazy.
John Voight is,
There's
yeah.
an accident waiting to happen.
You're just a dumb cowboy. Get me to Florida.
Here's some of the, Here's some of the fun stuff you might hear from, among his warnings and attacks on Obama, Obama rapes America. It's a socialist's Marxist teaching with it little by little. He rapes the nation.
Yeah.
Taking down our defenses, making new language for the Islamic extremists.
Sure.
False prophet Obama thinks he's a soft-spoken Julius Caesar. These are his free birds for this crowd. Obama weakens America with aggression and arrogance. Oh, there's that uppityness again. Yeah, arrogance. Obama will run the country with the mindset of very angry militant white and black people. Ooh, so
militant
both sides of them are angry.
White and black.
Yeah. On his radio show, Beck has called Voight a friend of the program and one of the only normal people in Hollywood.
Wow. Yeah, he, you know, should know that.
Yeah, we only booked the crazy extremists like Edie McClurg.
First of all, John, communists are atheists. They can't be Islamists and atheists at the same time.
He has not quite thought through some of his theories.
Mm.
Yes. All right.
Fuzzy.
Beth in Wisconsin. Hi, Beth.
Hi. Hey, I went to a play on Saturday night called The Lamentable Tragedy of Scott Walker.
Oh, great.
Awesome.
It was awesome. It was in Shakespearean style. It was a comedy, and they portrayed him as very whiny and full of himself.
And that was fictional? It was supposed to be fictional?
Well, I don't know. I think they thought it was fictional, but it was quite humorous, actually.
Awesome. He is now officially a laughingstock.
Yes, yes. And they all had, you know, the Shakespearean attire with the big filled whatever in front of their man parts, even though they were women, and it was very funny.
And next year this time you will be...
Oh, they're codpieces.
You will call in...
Right. Those are called.
Yes. This year, next time you will call, and I'll say, who was your governor last year? And you'll say, I don't recall.
I don't recall.
All right, Douglas in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Doug.
Hi, I'm calling about Operation Fast and Furious, and the left-wing press is basically blackout on that news story.
Yeah, the left-wing press? Wow.
President Obama is not having his feet held to the fire on it.
What are you talking about, Doug? What story are we blacking out?
Operation Fast and Furious.
Oh, what is that?
Better known as Operation Gun Runner or Gun Gate is basically what it should be called.
Uh-huh. And this is referring to?
Is this Libya?
This is regarding...
Well, you're not informed about this.
No, clearly not until you called. What are you talking about?
You know what? It doesn't surprise me, Stephanie, because
fill in the gaps in my information.
This is legislation that Daryl Issa proposed similar legislation about.
I'm really not doing anything other than when I say that's how you are. I'm just speaking the truth.
Douglas, this is legislation that Daryl Issa, Republican, proposed similar legislation for, correct?
First of all,
yes, it is, Douglas.
It has nothing to do with the legislation.
Why don't you explain to us what? Look at it, right now, you are filling the hole in this liberal news blackout. So go. What is it?
I'd be happy to explain it to you. It's kind of like Obama's signing statements when he decides, you know, well, we can't get the Dream Act.
Yeah, George Bush never did that.
Yeah, we're going to do this. Well, you know what? I know.
Yeah. Next topic.
Bush.
Doug, stop being such a tease. What's Operation Fast and Furious that's being blacked out by the liberal media?
What is it?
I voted for Obama.
What is it?
Okay.
What is
sure
it?
You did.
I never voted for Bush.
What is it?
What's that? What is the thing that you're trying to, you know, educate us on?
Obama is the president now, not Bush.
So what is it? Operation Fast and Furious?
Shut up about Bush. Shut up about Bush.
You brought Bush up.
He doesn't know what it is.
What are you saying is Operation Fast and Furious?
You obviously don't know what it is. You're just spouting talking points.
But see, you won't let me speak, but you should.
Yeah, you too, hush. Leave us alone. Leave us alone. Doug, go ahead. What is it?
It's all a big joke, isn't it?
No, well.
Explain what it is.
Yes, now it is.
Two police officers have died as a result.
What is it?
What is it?
Is it?
Is it, are you is it regarding the ATF? What is Operation Fast and Furious?
You need to look into it since you don't understand.
Well, stop being such a tease. Just tell me. Do I have to tell you you're pretty first? What?
It's going to be kind of hard for me to explain it with you talking over me, which is what you guys do.
Okay, well, we're all going to hush now. Go ahead.
Okay, good. So shut up and let me talk.
All right, good idea. That's why they call it the Doug Show.
Just in case you didn't know, Barack Obama has had a conversation with Jim and Sarah Brady stating that, well, don't worry, we're working behind the scenes on gun control. And voila, we have Fast and Furious.
What is that?
That's working behind the scenes on
He's going to get your guns. That's what it is. It's Operation Obama's coming to get your guns.
You want to call it, but it's there to prop up the narrative. But guess what? It didn't work. And now, just like the stimulus program didn't work, and now we find out that there's all sorts of violent incidents connected to it.
Oh, clash mobs. The president has he's instigated those flash mobs everywhere. I saw that on the Fox News.
Including two police officers who were killed as a result of this operation.
Sure.
President Obama and Eric Holder, okay?
Yes.
All the way to the top. They're not being held accountable.
Okay. All right. All right. All right, Doug. All right. I think that was good. We let you talk there, and that was Operation Giving You Enough Rope. So, thanks for that.
Well, according to Wikipedia.
Mike in Los Angeles. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, Steph, what that guy was talking about was a program under ATF where they supposedly were supplying weapons that they could track to take down gangs, drug gangs.
Oh, the thing that started under the Bush administration.
That started under George W. Bush.
Right.
Uh-huh. That's the point.
Yes, that Chris LaVoy mentioned.
Yeah, exactly.
Started with a Republican.
Yeah, Daryl Issa.
Shut up, stupid! You talk over people. You won't let me talk.
What is it?
You just let me talk more because my voice is so soothing.
You keep asking me questions, you won't let me talk.
Tell us what it is.
No! That's what you people do. See, I tried to tell you what it is, and you just ask questions. Obama!
You know, I think because we're helpers, do we have Obama derangement?
Wow.
Syndrome? I think there's help for, what was his name? I've forgotten already. Doug. Douglas. Douglas in Virginia. You know what? Because we are magical helpers. Edie, we help.
Yes, we do.
I was.
We help, not hinder.
Yes, exactly. And I'm just saying,
it's coming.
Which, you know what? We will just wait here. Well, because I'm not going to just let that lay there like a big stinking pile, Edie. I am going to offer him some help because it's an affliction that, listen, many of us have it in our own families. A lot of families have been touched by Obama derangement syndrome.
It's coming.
And I guess I could just keep talking until Chris finds it.
Here it is.
Here we go. And scene. And here we go, Douglas. Our pleasure. Okay. Huh. And good night. Good night, Detroit. Thanks
Canyon
for coming out.
Canyon Socialist Muslim.
Meet Skeeter.
He raised taxes 14 times.
As you can tell, Skeeter is afflicted with Obama derangement syndrome. Skeeter is unable to distinguish wild fantasy from reality. There is no cure, but there is hope.
He's arrogant.
For less than the price of 2 decaf triple lattes, you can sponsor someone with Obama derangement syndrome.
All he does is blame Bush for everything Bush did.
With your help, Skeeter and thousands like him can receive the equivalent of an 8th grade education.
Deaf panel.
Learning basic civics, economics, science.
He had a big hip-hop barbecue.
And hygiene.
Community organizer, communist Hitler.
We might not be able to cure him.
They're not rich people, they're job creators.
But we might prevent Skeeter from running for a second congressional term.
Obama is in cahoots with Barbara Streisand and Al Gore, who has a big house.
Please help us erase Obama derangement syndrome.
Madrasa.
A half-baked thought is a terrible thing to waste. Thank
you. All right.
Well, favorite part is when he brought up Bush and then he said, stop bringing up Bush! Okay, well, I didn't... All right. 49 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of Mondays with McClurg on The Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. You really got me now.
Stephanie Miller Show, 55 minutes after the hour. Edie McClure chair dancing and doing some odd sort of hand dance as well. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. You've probably been a hand model too, haven't you? You've done everything in show business. Stephen in Long Island. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Seth. Big Hi. Fan. Long Thank time. First you. Time on this guy who called up about Fast and Furious. It was an initiative by BATF that went wrong in Mexico. Two agents were killed. This guy obviously picked this up from the cover of this month's NRA magazine. I am a firm left-winger. I get right-wing stuff just to keep up with the bullshit on the other side.
Okay, all right. Wow, hello. He dropped a bomb on. He dropped a S-bomb on me. Oops. Hello, Rick in Olympia, Washington. Hello, Rick.
Yeah, Steph, that guy, on the same topic that your last caller just mentioned, this guy, they have these people, the right-wing radio stations, and the right-wing media has these people that go around and call the liberal shows.
Right.
Yep.
And they get paid for, you know, for every time they get on the air and they stop their talking points. But it just amazes me that these people, they sit and do this work for the right wing, but they're the ones that are getting taken to the cleaners. They don't know that they're voting against their own self-interest.
And I have a tip.
These people vote. These people actually vote.
Yeah. I have a tip as a radio professional. Get people that are better at it. Yeah. Just saying.
They do occasionally. The premier people sound actually professional. But this guy was,
But granted, Operation Fast and Furious wasn't a good idea because it put a lot of guns in the hands of Mexican drug lords. However, you really can't pin it on Obama. It was an FBI and...
Well, clearly was part of his plan to have police assassinated.
Right. It was an FBI and ATF program that went awry.
And it was
locally based in Phoenix.
Today's right-wing talking point.
Yeah, exactly.
Brought to you by that right-wing call.
Hannity's been drumming this home for a couple of weeks now. So that's where this guy got it from.
All right, then.
You don't know. You don't know what Fast and Furious is. Well, you liberals, you just don't want it.
Well, what is it?
Yeah, you see you talking over me so I can't.
Okay. All right. Can I have some Hollywood royalty music? Have you ever met Joan Collins in your travels? What is not to love about Joan Collins? D-listed has a great... Just some of her quotes. All women look awful in shift dresses, even Nicole Kidman. You've got to be totally f-less for them to work. I'm still using the word Chinaman to describe Asians. Oh. Apparently that is rude, and I'm supposed to say Asian. Gah. Since when?
Asia covers a lot of ground.
God,
right. A lot of different countries in China. Asia.
And her calling fat people orca-sized oafs from planet Girth. Loathe fat people? Did that come across? I certainly don't admire them. I think to be terribly overweight is incredibly unhealthy. And how do they get into a tiny laboratory on a plane? I feel sorry for them. I do.
Oh.
And if it's true that she and Warren Beatty humped each other 7 times a day, maybe he did. I just laid there. Oh, I love D-listed. Joan has more natural diva bitchiness in her 24-carat than J-Lo has in her entire orca-sized oaf body. When we're all Joan's age, may we all be offensive, deficient, and straight-up bitch in a champagne flute like her. Joan does not even give a Crystal Carrington that saying all that just earned her a place on the long bus ride to purgatory where she'll be surrounded by Asian men, a fat bitch, and Warren Beatty's. Oh, Lord.
What planet does she live on?
I don't know. Here's my other favorite headline before we go. D-listed Charlie Sheen sobriety coach. Just looking at Charlie Sheen's face makes me want to baste my eyeballs in crack smoke, but I guess Brooke Mueller is willing to take that chance. Charlie's ex-wife is trying to de-crack herself in rehab. Apparently she's doing so well. What's the next logical step for her to take on the road to sobriety? Go to Mexico with the crackhead who tried to stab her face off. The dehydrated warlock who is mummified with strips of turtle jerky tells TMZ Brooke's doing so well. He's taking her on a trip to Mexico. Oh, boy. One of the definitions of not end well in the Dictionary of Truth is crackhead leading crackhead to Mexico. That's it for us. Thank you, Edie McClurg.
Bye-bye.
See you tomorrow. It's Stephanie Miller Show.